You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Maples, here as always with the homie Kings, with the do-rag on Kings. What's popping, my guy?
Just trying to get through this rough NFL season. Another rough NFL year.
Also with us, Jordan, once again, Jordan Rules of Tap Room Sports. Jordan Lats, Lats, what's going on? NSYNC shirt, got to respect the vibes. What's going on with you?
Sir, I'm good, man. I can't be laughing at Kings too much because my NFL team ain't much better. So,
man, I told y'all before we hit the record button, the Cowboys are 10-3, but I'm nervous, man. It's my last year on the Dak train, man. We can't beat Tom Brady at age 47 with that team in Tampa Bay in the first round of the playoffs. I'm giving up the ghost, man.
I mean, I need to go back and pull up the tweets when you were calling me out when I was telling you Dak was mid in the beginning of the year.
You might have to, but I'm giving up the ghost this year. You know, if it don't happen this year, if I don't get at least a playoff win this year, I'm giving it up, man. I'm off the train.
Brady, future Cowboy quarterback?
Dak's cap hit is like 90 mil next year. It's like ridiculous. the cap penalty for releasing him is like 90. He got like 75 mil up front. So the cap penalty off the release is too nasty. He's going to be a quarterback for at least two more years. So we'll see. Anyway, let's get to the hoops. Start off with the huge game that happened Saturday, Warriors Celtics. I got to lie, you guys, I was surprised. Warriors come out and handle business without Andrew Wiggins, beat the Celtics, going away 123-107. Klay, 34 points, 14-26, 4-11 from 3. Steph, 32, 7-6, 12-21, 6-11 from 3. And the shocker, big game, Jonathan Kuminga, 14-5 on 6-9, shooting 1-2 from 3-point line, and some excellent two-way play, lockdown defense, and rebounding on the other end. Kings, me and you are big Kuminga proponents from Summer League. When we saw him live, good to see him going on the Celtics side of it. Jaylen Brown, 31-9, 13-23. Tatum, 18 points, 6-21, 2-9 from 3-point range. I still think the Celtics are the best team in the NBA, but a troubling trend is Tatum's games against the Warriors going back.
Yeah.
Six out of 18, 8-23, 9-23, 8-19, 3-17. Those are five of his last six games against the Warriors. He does have a 10-20 game there. They lost that game, though. His struggles against the Warriors are consistent. I thought he would have a chance to break out because no Wiggins was giving him the most trouble in one-on-one defense, but that was not a factor. Kuminga did a great job. Looney did a great job. Probably the best switch big in the NBA, no lie, or up there on maybe a short handful of guys who can get out there and do it. Quick reaction to this game in a nutshell, and then the bigger picture in terms of what you guys take away from the Warriors and the Celtics. Odd stat in this year. Last year when the Warriors played the Celtics at this point, the Warriors were 21-5. The Celtics were 13-13. This year, exact reversal. Warriors 13-13, Celtics 21-5. Very ironic how that worked. Start with you, Kings. What was your takeaway from this game? And then in the bigger picture, what kind of did that tell you?
Just Kuminga's growth. Having that option there is going to be huge for them in the playoffs if he continues to develop, because he'll give them more size, more athleticism, more versatility. But you can never have too many two-way wings. And the Warriors just seem to keep reloading on them. Harrison Barnes, Spates, KD, Iguodala, now Kuminga, Wiggins. I mean, they just keep getting more somehow around Steph and Klay. They just keep reloading. So, yeah, that's a big sign for them. And just seeing Looney still moving so well, you know, despite all that he's been through physically, just he still keeps being solid and consistent. That's another great sign for them as well. Yeah, man, the Warriors are just the Warriors at this point. I mean, Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry are, you know, they're the Splash Brothers for a reason. I mean, in any game, they can see a ball go in and both of them can you know, light you up. It's just any game with those two. And, yeah, between having the plethora of wings and versatility on the front court, from Draymond to Kuminga to Looney to Wiggins when he comes back, they're tough, bro. They're just tough. And then they have a, you know, Jordan Poole, even though he hasn't been that good this year, he still at least gives you the potential, you know, spark off the bench that, you know, some of the earlier teams, you know, didn't have in terms of the versatility of scoring and creating from one guy off the bench. They had a deeper bench in prior years in terms of had multiple guys doing certain things, but, you know, Jordan Poole kind of does a lot of things for them. So he gives them that nice bench piece. So, I mean, you know, the real issue is the Celtics is Tatum, whether it's mental, whether it's a combination of mental and scheme that the Warriors have, and well, just matchup advantage. And, you know, I mean, it's troubling. The Warriors give a lot of those wings trouble. You know, even if you dang back to 2016 when you saw KD play against them, he has his struggles. You even go back to the championship year against Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard did not have that was, I think, his worst series that playoff run, if I was mistaken.
It was.
And the state was not even healthy. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Golden State give wings a lot of trouble. I mean, the only wing you see dominate them on consistent basis really was LeBron, and yes, because he was just attacking the paint relentlessly. You know what I'm saying? Giving them rim protection, attacking them where it hurt, which was their lack of size. So it's tough. If you're not a wing who can really live at the rim, they're going to make your life a living hell trying to just take those contested jumpers over their length and their discipline. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Tatum, he's just going to have to find a way to get inside more, get deeper more on him. You know what I mean? Get more, get strong, get physical with him. And that's kind of why you think, you know what I mean? You know, it's funny because, you know, Jaylen Brown, you know, he's good at, you know, finding ways. He's good at finding ways to be effective playing off Tatum. You know, when Tatum's drawing all the coverages, you know, Jaylen Brown, he can get off the mid-range. He can score inside. He can take guys. He can challenge guys, finish strong, hit the three. I'm not going to say Jaylen Brown is the key because, I mean, they're keying up so much on Tatum. It's giving Jaylen Brown those better advantages and those better opportunities he's making them pay for it. But, the Celtics can't just rely on Jaylen Brown, you know, playing off of Tatum. They need Tatum to be good to be able to go all the way.
Jordan?
I mean, I wasn't shocked at this result. The Warriors, I mean, I bet the Warriors +2.5 on the game because the Warriors 12-2 at home. They're a really good team at home. But on the road, they play with the Orlando Magic. I mean, they're 2-11 on the road. They're a very subpar team on the road. At home, they're averaging 120 points per game on 48% shooting, 38% from three. On the road, they're averaging 114 points per game, 46% from the field, 35% from three. But biggest thing is they're giving up 123 points per game on the road, which is a huge difference compared to at home. So really, I mean, they're putting up points wherever they go. It's really their defensive energy and their effort on the road compared to at home. You know, the Warriors have always been a good home team going back to 2014, right, when they were undefeated at home. And their only loss was, surprisingly, to the Celtics. As far as the Celtics go, there was some regression due at some point because they're shooting 40% from three. That's not sustainable. It's not, dude. Over the course of a season, it's just not sustainable. So eventually, you're going to have regression to the mean. And you're gonna get some L's, dude. I mean, they're blowing teams out because they're shooting over 40% from three. It's just not sustainable. As far as the Warriors go long term, you know, if they can find the balance between their home and road splits, they have to be able to play on the road at some point. they have to be as effective on the road as they are at home, or closer to as effective. You can't be 2-11 on the road and 12-2 at home. I mean, it's complete polar opposite. At that point, you're going to be a 6-7 seed. And why are they like that? Is it because they're young outside of their starting four, five?
Their bench is really young, and they lost DiVincenzo 4 minutes, so it became even younger. I think he was like the stabilizer on the bench. I like Poole, but I don't think he's good enough to carry a young bench. So their bench there, I believe their starting five still has the best net rating in basketball, and their bench – although it might be trending up lately, is towards the bottom still, last time I checked. So when they go with any of their bench, they haven't been getting killed. You know, benches play better at home. To point towards the data you were putting in, benches normally play better at home. So that kind of explains that. But, yeah, it's mainly because a lot of young guys off the bench, they were trying to force the Wiseman thing to happen. The organization finally gave it up and said, we got to send this guy to G League to get his reps. So we'll see how that goes. DiVincenzo came back. The bench started playing better. He's a good two-way player, I think, for them. He's been playing well. I know you're a Bucks fan and had your gripes about how he played in Milwaukee, but he's playing good two-way ball for the Warriors. I think Jamichael Green is going to have to play better defense, I think. He's not a very good defender, but they like how he stretches the floor. So the big thing that Kings brought up is the development of Kuminga. Because I think if you get him a lottery pick to start playing to the level that you drafted him, that changes things as far as your ceiling and your versatility can go.
Yep.
But that Celtics game, that was very impressive. Like he's defending Brown and Tatum, doesn't seem overwhelmed, starting to find himself in the offense, knowing where to cut, where to spot up, playing without the ball. And I think if he can earn Kerr's trust, which is, you know, hard to do for young players in that system, that will – you know, have them trending way up, in my opinion. That's a big wild card for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Big game Tuesday. Is that Tuesday, Kings, Lakers, and Celtics?
Let me go and check. I think so. It is the next Lakers game. Yeah, it is Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. So that should be fun fun to watch.
Lakers at home, so I think it'll be more competitive than people think.
Yeah. Lakers, that was barely squeezed by the Pistons today.
I think it was some looking forward with today's
right,
game.
Right. But I think if LeBron and AD keep playing how they're playing, the game will be competitive.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Moving on, there were some slight fireworks this evening. Or this weekend between the Suns and the Celtics. The Pelicans and Suns played two games this weekend, both in New Orleans. On Friday, the Pelicans beat the Suns 128-117 behind 35-7-4 from Zion, 20 points from Bad Bunny, as Kings like to call him, aka Jose Alvarado.
All for that one.
Continues to be one of the best value contracts in the year on a 4-year minimum. Shout out his agent. You got to be better than that. The big story from this game, though, was 126-117, time running out. Zion does a 360 windmill at the end of the game. Tempers flare. Guys come chest to chest. A lot of wolfing. A lot of animosity because the Suns ended the Pelican seasons last year. They come back. I think Booker sitting out took something away from the luster of the game. But the Pelicans do win in OT. Zion drops another 35, 8 boards, 3 assists. CJ breaks out of his slump. saw Teflon Reek's tweets from last night, 29-7-4. And the Pelicans win that one in OT. First off, from a basketball, we're all avid basketball fans. Did you guys have a problem with the dunk? And if not, tell me why. If so, tell me why you did.
I didn't, because Chris Paul could have held the ball out and he could have ran the clock out himself. Instead, he tries to go for a layup, misses it. I got no issue with it, man. I got zero issue with it. If they were so upset with running out the clock, then you hold the ball and run out the clock, because the shot clock was already off when you had the when you had the basketball. Mm. You know what I mean? So I got no issue with it. Plus, like Zion said, like after what he saw, you know, he had to sit there. He had nothing. He couldn't do anything about it last year. He saw his guys get sent home from that team. And to be honest, dude, the Suns are just, they're such a clown team, dude. Like, they are the easiest team to hate, dude. Like, this is the same team that goes and posts social media videos of them working out after wins. And they, like, everybody, like, they don't, nobody likes this team in the league, dude. You could tell when they play this team. Like, they don't respect this team. And for them to, like, have that kind of animosity, it's like, dude, look what you guys do. You know what I mean? You think people are going to respect you? Like, why should that team respect you? You don't respect anybody else.
Yeah, it was funny. On the Jumbotron before the game, the Pelicans played the video of him just elbowing Alvarado in the chin for no reason. Right left the court before Zion did the dunk. Kings, did you have an issue with the Zion dunk at the end of the game?
My first thought, I was just kind of hyped for the crowd. You know, I mean, it was great dunk, great energy. I mean, I personally didn't care. You know what I mean? I didn't even know it was a big deal until I looked at the time and I was like, oh, I guess, you know, I was like, I guess, man. But it's like, me, it's like, he was playing for the crowd. He was hyped up, juiced up. This dunk, I guess, unwritten rule. But Chris Paul's messed with that unwritten rule multiple times that people have shown. So it's, you know, when it's bad blood like that, that's what happens, you know. Just like when it was Grizzlies and Wolves like us last year, we were gritting on each other's home courts. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's what it is when that happens, right? When it's like that between two rivals, you know. All right. And you know, the Suns and Pelicans are kind of building that type of rivalry now, based off that playoff series, and now both are being really good. So, that's just how it goes. I mean, if you don't like it, you know, win the game, or like Jordan said, hold the ball. He had the ball. The game was over, you know?
I had an issue with it, but then I didn't. I was like, I get it.
The coaching, you had an issue.
the coaching you had the problem.
Right. Right, but it's just like Zion said it. I wasn't there last year. He feel like he could have made a difference. I've seen the Suns on multiple occasions. And people put videos all over social media of them taking layups late in games to pad their stats or get an extra bucket, and people getting mad at them. And they just kind of got a serving of that and tried to serve the same energy. So that's kind of where I was with it. I feel bad because Devin Booker is one of my favorite players. I am a staunch DeAndre Ayton defender on the app. He gets a bad rep. I think he's a very good center. Not quite elite, but still very good. You can win a lot of games with that guy anchoring your team. So, you know, but you're right. The Suns are, for some reason, are super unlikable. There's only one guy I'm not a fan of on the Suns. You've known it for years, Jordan and Kings. I did not like, I'm not a big Chris Paul fan. I acknowledge the greatness. First ballot Hall of Famer. No doubt top 10 point guard to ever play. Just not a fan of like dirty basketball.
Top 5 point guard to ever play.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. I just, you know me. I'm not going to put him over my Bay Area legends, but I got you. Go ahead. I did not have an issue with that. Moving on to the Pelicans. Jordan, you've been on this train before. I was hesitant to get on. I think I'm going to hop on now.
They're for real, man.
I know you said I was hesitant. I'm going to hop on now. So just Pelicans are second in net rating. Number five in offense, number three in defense. Only team in the NBA right now, top five in both. Things you're going to have to defend. The banter you and Reek put out there last night, while you're not quite there, that's what we're here for. I had to put your feet to the fire. Go ahead and tell me why you're skeptical about what you're seeing so far.
Well, you know, You know, Reek, first of all, people that I remember Reek speaking hyperbole. So
you're right, you're right. So when he says smoke, he said he
said smoke. He's just saying they're gonna lose, they're gonna end up losing, you know, earlier than what many people anticipate. But I mean, like, you know, for me, the Pelicans are a good team. They're definitely a team that's gonna make it past the first round. You know, they have a very deep team. My issue is because times, and this comes from just years of watching playoff series, years of watching different adjustments. Was when it becomes a half court game, issues like rim protection, issues like half court facilitating, half court playmaking, they get magnified because possession importance magnifies in a playoff series, and that's where I'm questionable because you know in those type of situations where you have you know when you don't have a good rim protector. Necessarily in terms of someone who's athletic, someone who's imposing, right, and is versatile, it's gonna come down to other guys to help pick up the slack on that. You saw with the Cavs, you had, you know, Bron pick up that slack, you know what I'm saying? And then when you saw it with the even OKC's run, you know, sometimes even though they had Ibaka, you know, sometimes KD would go in there help defense. So it's like, you know what I mean? When possessions matter, you start – like you're gonna have to really hunker down defense, especially on the inside, and then in the half court, playmaking, who can set guys up consistently, find the right read consistently. I don't trust CJ to do that. I'm sorry, Brandon Ingram's job. What was that?
That's Ingram's job when he gets back.
Yeah. I'm about to say Brandon Ingram. And I was gonna speak to him. Brandon Ingram's a good playmaking forward, but you know it's. We'll see. You know, when scheme's tying down, I know that he had a good series against the Suns. But I mean, Jordan, you know, as much as skeptical as Jordan has been about the Suns, I've been like right behind them ever since they lost to the Bucks. There's just something about them after losing to the Bucks, especially last year. It kind of turned me away. I just didn't like, you know, I just don't like their approaches to games, and you know, it's just. So something about their team just not appealing to me. But you know, it's just getting back to the Pelicans. Brandon Ingram, he's a great playmaking forward. I don't know if it will be enough in a high stakes playoff series. I'm talking about past round one when you're pacing the real contenders. You know what I mean? Because at this point, I'm not judging the Pelicans on just a regular playoff team because they're definitely good enough to you know make a deep playoff run. I'm judging them as okay. We're gonna judge them. On the scale of championship caliber teams, they have the ratings, they have all the statistics. But when I look at the you know the roster makeup, I see a lot of youth, and you know how it is with young teams and closing the deals and being able to capitalize and making the cerebral reads at the end of games. And I see those two holes. I think are just man, they bite you at the worst times, and I just think that is going to hold them back this year. But they have a great core, and I think if they address that, they get more experience. I mean, Zion's is right there with Luka and Tatum as the best of the next gen, right behind you know what Giannis has established. So I mean, they're definitely going to be a contender for years to come. Obviously,
yeah. I was saying that too. Look, Giannis is only 27, so like it's kind of crazy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's why I said Giannis because he's already done it. You know.
So my thing with that, I'm with you on the rim protection thing. It's why I've begged for a couple years for the Miles Turner thing, although JV was better than him last year, so I get it. The biggest thing for me, that's going to be an issue. That's why I do fear the Denver Nuggets in the series because that puts you in a situation where you have to leave JV out there. The Pelicans' best lineup is the small, the five wings, the Zion, Larry Nance, then you got Trey, B.I., or Dyson, depending on whoever's got it going. So I think Denver, you have to play big. That's scary. Also the Warriors because of experience. But I'm with you. I'm with you on the win protection. I think that is a very fair question. Today their issue with Phoenix, the game they won, they gave up almost 40 points in the paint in the first half. That was a big adjustment that they had to make. So that, you know, that
was calling out JV on Aiden on
Twitter. Right. Right. So the other thing, the playmaking, I feel like B.I. and Zion are very good playmakers for their positions. You know, the analytics back that up, the eye test back that up. Your rebuttal to that was very fair. Can that be done in a playoff series against championship level defense? And for me,
in a half court set,
right? So that means that's
the key. Those are the key things I'm looking at.
So I have to check clean. I have to check clean the glass for their half court offensive rating to see. But I would think the thing that gives me faith in the Pelicans, they've been a very good fourth quarter and clutch team this season, one of the best in the NBA. I think that, you know, factors in well as you start to consider what they will do in the postseason. So I'm looking at how they match up Memphis, Denver, Phoenix, Golden State. I sold my Clippers stock, but if you believe in that, I think they match up well with those teams. If the Lakers make a trade, we'll see. AD and Zion, AD and LeBron are playing out of their minds offensively. So Lakers make a trade, you have to factor that in as well. But if they match up well, think about it. It's one of those years where anybody can get it. I think we talked about this last week. I think honestly the safest pick right now is Memphis.
No. I agree with the rim protection thing. They're 28th in rim protection rate right now. Over 66%. So I do agree with that. They have to address that at some point this season near the trade deadline. Like they have to. But my pushback on the playmaking thing is we just saw a team with no playmaker in the Boston Celtics. I mean, these guys couldn't even hang on to the basketball for a majority of the playoffs and still managed to make it all the way to the finals. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. But here's my rebuttal. Who did they lose to?
Yeah, see that. Yeah. And then the other thing is,
you know what I'm saying?
I believe that defense wasn't it through first three rounds historically great, like going back to 08 Pistons. Yeah. That was the other thing. So I think what we're saying is there's a multitude of ways to win. I think, like I said, me and Kings have said this for a long time. Those KD era Warriors kind of warped everybody's view of basketball. Like, perfect teams don't exist. Every team has warts at somewhere, and it's going to be who can overcome those or supplement somewhere else. So,
also, the Mavs made it to the Western Conference Finals last year, and they were terrible in rim protection. You know, I definitely think they have to address it. They have to address that rim protection because that is their biggest flaw, without a doubt. We all agree with that.
Yeah, for sure.
I was gonna say, you bought them going to the Western Conference Finals. I mean, that's the type of team the Pelicans are, right? They're a team that can make a deep playoff run. But you know, I think a lot of people that are excited and they're looking at the success type of deep team they had and thinking championship aspirations, as they should, especially if you're a fan of the team, been a fan of the team for years. Of course, you should have that aspirations. But for me, if I'm looking at it from a championship standpoint, right, it's like now I have to be extra critical about certain things that we know championship teams have to have. So I'm just looking at, are they going to make a deep playoff run? Of course, the deepest team in the league have great young talent. You know, I'm not picking them to lose in the first round. Maybe Reek might, because you know he has already feels about Brandon Ingram, but I like Brandon Ingram's game. I'm not going to pick him to lose in the first round. Depending on who they match up with in the second round, I might have him in the Western Conference Finals too. But in terms of just going all the way, it's like those certain things just it's not going to allow me for me to say, oh, they're a finals team.
Yeah, my biggest thing for the Pelicans, honestly, is are they going to be? I think Zion's okay. I think there's been an anomaly with these freaky injuries. Are they going to be able to just keep Ingram on the floor? I think that's the big thing. I think he's barely plus 60 one time. And the end of the year is always something. So even last year was the finger, and he just played through it. But I think that's the biggest issue. Are they going to be able to keep Ingram on the floor before anything else? But the rim protection, definitely 100% agree. And I am a JV fan. I just think they need, with the way their team is set up, they need a rim protecting center. That's, you know, how I feel about it.
Oh, real quick, I also think a thing that benefits them and which kind of covers up their rim protection is that they do have great perimeter defenders.
Yeah, they have three really good defenders: Trey, Herb, and Dyson Daniels. They have like those are like legit. And
Jose Alvarado.
And Alvarado, against smaller guards
on the guard.
Right.
I mean, they're able, because that was the big thing about the Utah Jazz in the last few years, right? Was they couldn't keep anybody in front of them. And it's like the polar opposite of the Pelicans. Like, they can keep guys in front of them, they just can't defend on the back end. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that guy's going to come available at the trade deadline, at least like from a high production value standpoint.
I mean, Miles Turner's out there. You just got to be able, you want to pay the two first for him. I don't think anybody's going to meet that price.
Yep. Maybe Chris Boucher.
Even after Miles Turner, they just even got Mo Bamba. You know what I mean? If they
just got more
that they can put in those situations. For so instead of the playoffs, start playing JV for those 20 minutes, you play Mo Bamba for rim protection, then you roll out your small to close out. Like that's even enough to make them more of a solidified title contender, you know?
I think the one thing they actually tried to address, one of the few misses. I think the first couple of years was rough of David Griffin era, but he's been on fire the last couple of years. One of the few misses was taking Hayes that early. Because that's kind of his role, super athletic, you know, post player, supposed to be able to, you know, be rangy, protect the rim. He just can't get on the floor for whatever reason. So I think that's it is something they're trying to just they couldn't get it done. But we'll see. We'll see. Got to move on to Kings, Timberwolves now. Got to talk about them. 3-2 without Cat, wins against Memphis and the Pacers, the L against OKC. And in that time, 24-5-5, 45-38, 85 splits, 2.1 net rating in that span, sixth ranked offense, 21st ranked defense. Kings, I'll let you go first. This is your team. Maybe a little better, playing a little better around Cat. I thought it was always going to be an adjustment when you throw a piece as big as Rudy on a team. So I know I think that got to throw him that bell, but fair to ask, what do you think this team's future is with Cat? Especially if Cat keeps playing like this, the ball's in his hands more. He's showing a little bit of playmaking chops, a little more efficient. He has a couple times in the season hinted at wanting to play with just one big on the floor, keeping the floor spaced. So what do you think should happen?
Yeah, you know, because with Cat, the floor should still be spaced offensively, which it is. I think more the issue is that, you know, they got to play slower when it's Gobert because you have two bigs who can't run the floor in terms of, you know what I mean? Like Gobert can finish in transition in terms of as a lagging runner, you know, as a lagging big, you know what I mean? But Cat's not trying to get out and run and finish in transition like that. You know what I'm saying? And so when you play slower, it allows teams to get set more easily. Whereas if you ever to play like a more, you know, athletic running forward, it's not like Ant can get easier buckets in transition. You know, pace can be pushed, etc. No, we still have a good offense when Cat's there because we are floor spaced out. We have good scores, we have good shooting. We have a good coach, a good philosophy, but
just the pace.
And then the defense, like really just. We just give up a lot because we can't guard the perimeter. But if we have, you know, if we focus on if we're playing one big, which is Rudy, with that elite rim protection, and we have good perimeter defense around that, you know, our defense is going to be a lot better. I think with me, it's like, you know, we're kind of – the fact that we lost Cat, who we've had on our team for years, we're using Rudy, and we're still like – the same, if not slightly better, with just Rudy, a guy who's completely new. The fact that that's even a thing is kind of troubling. You know what I mean? To me, if that's our franchise guy, if we lose you and we have a new big and we're still at the same pace, like it begs the question about, is it worth retaining you and paying you instead of just getting better and building around what we already have and using you as the way to get better. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I look at it as if I go to the Raptors, if I say, hey, I want OG, Fred, and some picks, it's like now I recoup some of the picks I lost to Gobert, right? Maybe a couple firsts. And then now I have Fred, I have Ant, I have Jaden, I have OG, and I have Rudy Gobert defensively. And now I have one big offensively. I have a bunch of versatile athletic guys around that. And on defense, I have good perimeter defenders with an elite rim protect. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not gonna lie. I absolutely love that trade for both teams. I think the
Raptors, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Raptors have been looking for a center for like 5 years now.
45 years. And one who's offensively skilled too, like right? Who can stretch the floor. So it's like, it just makes a lot of sense. And I'm just like, at some point, you have to just turn the team over to Anthony Edwards So I'm of the mindset of he's already been to the playoffs, just start now. You know what I mean? Like, just do it now. We've already been through the Cat era with multiple casts. I think it's time to let him go somewhere else, see if somewhere else is better for him. In regards to D'Lo, if we actually move Cat, I'm actually for that in that deal. I'm actually not opposed to D'Lo being a sixth man. I think his attributes and his skill set fit that role best. I also think his market has plummeted so much that he would be able to get paid properly as a sixth man, right? And moving Cat would allow us to give him a decent salary as a sixth man. So I just think we have a lot more versatility and a lot more options going forward if we move Cat. If we keep Cat, we're just stuck trying to make it work, and it hinders the moves we can make as opposed to moving him and trying to just go through with Rudy.
I don't think there's any chance the Raptors trade picks along with OG for Cat.
I mean,
the way he's playing this year, that's fair. The way he's playing this year, that's fair. Last year, you could have got him with this year.
The thing is, you also have to get rid of Fred's contract too. That's not, Fred's a great piece, but that's not the most, desirable contract on out there right now. I think you can get at least one first from them. Maybe not two, but you can get at least one from them. Because Cat is still, like somebody said, Cat is still an all-NBA player. And at the end of the day, that he's still an all-NBA big, and he shoots at an all-time rate as a big man,
Yeah, this is a fit thing, not a talent thing. So I think that's fair. It's definitely not a talent issue here. It's a fit here. Go ahead, Jordan. Keep going.
No, I agree with that as far as, the fit. But, I mean, the one thing with the Raptors and why I've liked them is because I do believe they're so versatile because they have so many 6'8", 6'7" guys that are long and athletic that I don't really think that you need a big. And I don't think that's their reason why they're playing bad this year. Like this year, they have a guy in Fred VanVleet who literally aged 20 years in an offseason. Like he's about to say, you know what I mean? And trading OG doesn't solve their problem for Cat. Yeah, getting rid of Fred VanVleet is probably the biggest thing they need to do because their guard play is atrocious. You know what I mean?
But I think VanVleet needs to be knocked. I love VanVleet. He needs to be knocked down a pick. He shouldn't be your primary initiator.
Yep, I agree.
Able to attack close.
He would be much better on us playing off Ant and then having D'Lo also to help off the bench.
But go ahead, Jordan. Go ahead, Jordan. Sorry about that.
No, it's all. I think that's fair, and that's what I'm saying. Fred VanVleet, 16-3-6 on 36-32-85 splits this year. His lowest PER since 2018. I mean, dude, he's terrible. The Raptors are 25th in points per possession. I mean, they have issues, and Cat's not solving that.
You don't think he helps 25th in PPP?
Who's getting him the ball?
I mean, but the fact that he can space the floor for guys. That's what I'm saying. He makes Siakam's job a lot easier, in my opinion. Like him and Siakam are a great fit in theory. In theory,
I agree. So same with Scotty Barnes, right? I think
right. That's- so I think in theory, things got to play. But I think in theory, Cat is an ideal center for those two guys who like to attack the rim.
I mean, I could see it. I think OG is such a. I think OG, Scotty, and Pascal are so versatile, man. It's just like. It's just tough to break up that pairing. I do think that they made a mistake giving Fred VanVleet that contract. They could have let him walk and even kept Kyle Lowry. They're probably in a better situation right now.
We're going to talk about that guy in a minute. We'll see. So, King, I think that's a very interesting. Usually fans put out trades that are one-sided. That is a very – I thought that's very intriguing to me.
It is intriguing. Yeah.
And you know what? If you look on Twitter, both fan bases like the trade. Both fan bases like the trade. The only hang up is how many picks get involved. But in terms of Cat for OG and Fred, both fan bases are like, yeah, let's do this tomorrow. For at least for the people I've seen. So
I'm very high on OG. That's why I'm very hesitant.
Hey, my OG had an Obi tweets. I may have overshot, but I was like,
the Raptors are too, I think. The Raptors are too, I think, but I think the way the fans look at it is they believe a lot in Scotty.
Another trade Siakam in that trade for Cat.
I thought about it, but it could potentially work, but I would just rather have OG And I think the Raptors, because he's a wing, and I think the way the Raptors are looking at it is like, since Pascal's their leading scorer and Scottie's not there yet, they'd rather transition him over and give him that floor spacing big.
Well, okay, there was a famous quote by the great Jerry West. He said if it was his choice, his way of building a roster was he would have 5, 6, 7, 6, yep, 8 players that could switch everything and do everything, right? And I think that's how the Raptors, that's the way they're trying to approach the game a little bit. And they're
you can say that, but at some point, I think you're going to need a big. You can't eliminate the big from basketball. I think if the playmaking is fine, you can get over not having a point guard. But you're going to need a big guy at some point, just for the fact, like, a Giannis, you're going to run into a unicorn like Giannis at some point. You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
You let an Ayton have, you know, a career run on you because you know, you can't guard any type of big. It's like, you know, these bigs are super athletic. I mean, try using that philosophy now that you have Bobos and Victor Wembanyamas, and see where that's going to take you in 8 years. Like, you need big men now.
Yeah. You know, I just got to say, a lot of big guys. I never sold the Bobo stock. I held out hope. Part of it was he's just an absolute cheat code on 2K. Like a mini KD. I was like, I'm not selling my stock.
We went to Summer League. I saw Bobo in person. That's a big dude, man.
Yeah, so
that's a
tall dude. I never gave up. Bobo, man. We were talking about the Mavs not being able to get a guy for Luka. Imagine they just got him on a flyer, bro.
And that's ideal kind of guy you want.
Right.
Protect the rim and shoot a three.
Right.
Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, why did they trade that guy?
That was him and Luka didn't like playing together. I mean, on paper, it looks like it fits. They did not like playing together. And that's from people who have, I think me and Kings did a pod with your boy Hendo, man, who works with them, who does media for the Mavs. They just didn't like playing together. Like, it wasn't going to work just personality wise.
That's crazy.
I can't remember too if there was issues with their like country of origins too. Playing,
yeah, I don't know about that. I just don't like. I
can't remember if that was a case too, but yeah, they really just didn't like each other.
I remember we had Hendo on. Hendo was like, "Nah, that's not. They got to get off. Like that had to happen."
Where's Porzingis from? He's from
Latvia, I think.
Yeah, Latvia. Yeah,
in the Doncic is from
Slovenia,
right? Yeah, them like
Kings, you supposed to be up on the geopolitics, man. You
know,
had an answer in the back pocket, bro.
Yeah, I thought that's what I was thinking about. I was like, I can't remember if that played a role in it or not, too. But I just know they just hated each other. Like,
no, I just know it wasn't a good bad that their basketball personalities weren't meshing. Staying in the East, got to talk about a slightly disappointing team this year. Miami Heat, Eastern Conference Finals, a Jimmy pull-up three from actually going to the finals. He went for it all, did not make it. Miami Heat, 12-15, 5-5 the last 10. Odd thing is, not much change with their roster they made to the Eastern Conference Finals. I just think a lot of core pieces are older.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the main thing. That Lowry, even last year, I would say the Lowry signing was a flop. They excelled in spite of that. But Jimmy's missed 10 games, to be fair. He's having a very good year, 22-7-5 on 52% shooting. My thing with the Heat is just offensively, man, 25th in offensive rating, 8th in defense. They just can't score enough. I keep waiting for Bam to take that next step with offensive aggression because the toolkit is there. But he's just a very, I don't want to say passive, but he's just not a, I'm going to get 25 every night guy. I think that's kind of what they need from him. So just, where are you with the Heat, Jordan? I know you know, kind of brought this up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, past couple of years, this has been a team that's been contending for the East. You know what I mean? Like, they've been at the top, and it's been a team that everybody expects to be at the top. But I agree with you. You know, they lose P.J. Tucker, which I don't necessarily think is a bad loss, because I think P.J. Tucker's kind of fallen off a hill too. And he kind of did at the end of last year as well.
Yeah.
Like these guys are getting – like, a lot of these guys are getting old. I think a lot of these guys played over their heads previously. Duncan Robinson.
For sure, him, for sure.
Strus has played over his head a little bit last year. One of the Martin twins. I just think that this team, like, eventually they were going to come down to earth. And then Tyler Hero gets played off the floor in big games because he can't defend a soul.
That's the, I think that's probably the biggest issue, in my opinion, when you've invested that much in
Duncan, man. They should have sold high on him a long time ago.
Yeah, they could have gotten Harden for. I know Harden's kind of like falling off too, but they could have got Harden if they just threw Hero in there. They don't, and like Hero's, he's this guy. He's a great six man, but you're paying him more than that. You know what I mean? You're paying him to be one of your top three production players, and he's just not that. And I agree with the Bam situation too. Like, you keep waiting for Bam to take this step forward offensively. You keep waiting for him to take this jump, and he just never does. I don't know if it's that he doesn't want to, that he's not aggressive, that he doesn't have the assertiveness, or that he just doesn't have it in him to play that kind of style of basketball. You know, I just think this roster, it's very flawed.
I don't think he can play that type of basketball and be the defender that he is. I think what you're seeing this year is the height. I think he could be a low 20 points per game type of guy, get you some outbursts here and there. But if you want him to be that defender that you're asking him to be, you can't expect him to do that and score 25. Like, he's not as – like, he's very physically gifted athletically, so he's able to, you know, score and be able to, you know, play defense at a high level. But he's not as, like, skilled to make it as easy as, let's say, Anthony Davis does, right, offensively. Like, Anthony Davis can play the type of defense Bam does, but he'll give you 26 to 28 because he's just more skilled offensively. So it's just easier on him to get buckets. He doesn't have to work as hard. You know what I mean? Like, he can average 25, scoring 80% of his buckets off assists from somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, it's just easier for him to find ways to score. So that's really the difference with Bam. He's not capable of putting up high numbers and playing elite defense at the same time.
Bam reminds me of a very poor man's Giannis.
Huh.
I kind of see him as a offensively worse but defensively better Chris Bosh, funny enough. Like, just like his impact. Like, he's much better defensively, but offensively he's just way less versatile.
Yeah, I found it out because he's got everything. He got that little mid range pull up. He's a very big, strong, quick, athletic guy.
He's good at facilitating.
He's a very good playmaker.
It's just he has to work harder than other guys to get his game on. And ultimately, when you're having to defend the way he does, it's like something's going to take a hit. You know,
I think Pat Riley's vision was always using Bam Adebayo similar to Draymond Green. However, Miami doesn't have the offensive pieces of a Steph and Clay,
right?
You know,
and that's another good point. I think if he played, like, the thing is, like, his other best perimeter defenders, they can't shoot. So when they're on the floor, when they're on the floor with him, it's harder for him to score. But he gets to save their defense, but it's harder for him to score. And then when he does have his shooters around him, they can't defend. On the defensive end, whereas Draymond Green, you know what I mean, when he's with his shooters, they both shoot and defend. So that's what I'm saying. So he gets to just play make on offense and just play his help side role, quarterback the defense, because he has guys who can do both. Whereas Bam, it's always one or the other. So like I said, it's hard for him because he can't, you know what I mean? He's not as skilled as Anthony Davis. So it's not as easy for him to get points. So he has to really pick and choose where he's going to put his energy toward.
Yep.
That's right. The two-way play is high. It takes a lot of stamina. It's not easy. Man, good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. Before we get out of here, one thing, Jordan, anything gambling-wise we need to know with the NBA?
We're taking Clippers +3.5 tomorrow against the Celtics. Celtics are going to be on a back-to-back. They got the Clippers tomorrow and then the Lakers on Tuesday. I think they're going to put forth a lot more energy towards playing the Lakers on Tuesday, since that's a nationally televised game. Tomorrow night is not. Also, it is a lean only for the sense, because we never know who's going to play for the Clippers. You know, you got to wait till 30 minutes before tip off to figure out who's going to play. But I do expect the Clippers to get up for this game. Like I said, I've been expecting some regression from Boston in terms of 3-point shooting, and the Clippers have been playing pretty well the last couple of weeks. So I like the Clippers +3.5 tomorrow. Our Sacramento Kings falling a little bit back to earth, gentlemen. A little bit back to earth the last couple of years.
That was always going to happen. They don't defend. You know that.
Yep. They don't.
Five and five the last 10. Kind of evening out. Definitely, for sure. Two big games on Tuesday. Celtics Lakers. I need you guys. Give me a prediction for Celtics Lakers and Warriors Bucks. That's a TNT doubleheader on Tuesday.
Where's Warriors Bucks at?
Warriors Bucks is in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
No Chris Middleton.
How bad is that ankle injury?
They're saying a sprained ankle, so I definitely don't expect him to play on Tuesday. This guy cannot stay healthy anymore.
All right. So we all three of us got Bucks on Tuesday. Celtics, Lakers in Staples.
I got Lakers.
I got Celtics by double digits.
On a back-to-back?
Yep, because I think they're going to kind of coast tomorrow. I think they're going to kind of take tomorrow off, and they're going to put their pedal to the metal national television against the Lakers because that's a bigger game.
They're definitely going to put their pedal to the metal, but you know, one of the teams that Bron hates the most in his career and loves to show up against every time is Boston, and the Lakers are playing at home. So I'll lean with the Lakers in the close one on this one.
They have been in Southern California since
you Saturday love that night. Angle, dude.
But look, the stats back it up. You think that every team that spends the extended LA weekend, what happens the last night they're out there?
Oh, wait, this an LA back to back too?
Yeah, they've been in SoCal. Remember, they were played at Golden State, so they've been in LA since Saturday night.
These players go out. I was at Nice Guys before the Kings played the Clippers, and I saw some folks in that mud. So I'm just saying,
there's no way they lose both though.
That's fine. I'm gonna say, when NBA teams spend that extended stay in Southern California, it happened to the Pelicans earlier this year. And this is when the Lakers were playing bad. The one when they were able to get off, they caught the Pelicans spending 4 days in Southern California.
Well, let me see if we have a line out for that game on Tuesday.
Wise, check that out. Make sure you follow RIP Kings on Twitter, RIP Kingsbro on Twitter, myself, JJ Maples 55 underscore MST, and Jordan Rules TSP. Jordan, tell us about your other stuff while you're getting that out, please.
Taproom Sports Podcast. If you like to wager on sports, definitely check us out Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, 9:15 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, live on YouTube and Twitch, twitch.tv/taproomsports. You can catch it on all of the podcast channels, Apple, Google, Spotify. I don't even know what else is iHeartRadio. We're available on all. I do not have a line for the Lakers Celtics. I'm going to guess that it's going to be Lakers minus 1.5, probably. That's going to be my guess. Maybe Celtics minus 1.5.
If Dak wins a playoff game, have you on a football pod so I can just gloat real quick.
Hey, you know, you're always welcome to come on on the football pods, man. We can always talk. I've been the biggest stark defender of the Cowboys this year, man. I literally just defended them for 30 minutes tonight, Jason.
That quarterback play got to get better. That's what playoffs is about. Can he make the throws, the key throws, and not turn it over? I'm worried about both. Make sure you follow us. Subscribe to the pod. Rate. Subscribe. Give us feedback. We got a Q&A episode coming up real soon to kind of canvas the entire NBA. You guys been asking for that. You guys keep rocking with the pod. I appreciate you. You guys be safe, and we are out of here.
Peace, y'all.